In the midst of this series, this Lent worship series, it's focusing on the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that is beloved of Christians across the world, a prayer that I think many of us have memorized. And many of us memorized it because we heard it every week in worship, or like our Vista kids are taught it in Sunday school on Sunday mornings, or they might be listening to their parents pray it at home. What's fun to hear is when people pray this prayer, what words they emphasize, what words are important to them. It's also fun to hear young children pray this prayer, particularly young children who have not yet learned to read, and so they haven't read the words, and they've learned them by listening to others say the words. And so I want to share with you some of the ways they have prayed this prayer. 3-year-old Reese begins the prayer by saying, "Our Father who does art in heaven, Harold is his name." Now, 3-year-old Kaylin, she implores our Father to deliver us some email. And then I think my favorite is 4-year-old Sarah, who when she was praying it with her mother, and her mother was modeling, she said, "No, Mama, I can pray it myself." And she prayed it, and she got to the part that we're going to focus on today, and she said, "Forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." We delight in those, right? Those are delightful. Those are fun to hear, partly because we know what the right words are, right? We know what the correct thing is that needs to be said. But I wonder, even though we know the right words, when we're saying them, do we really understand what we're saying? This is part of the reason why we have chosen to settle into this prayer over 5 weeks. Each week, taking one of the phrases of the prayer and savoring it, really settling into it and pondering it. Because you see, this is a prayer that when we really savor it, it can help us deepen our relationship with God and deepen our relationship with others. So we began 3 weeks ago, and I want us to move through the prayer as we've gotten through it so far. And so you're going to see it before you on the screens. And let's say these parts of the prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, before you say this next part, I want to remind you that at this point, it's sort of a hinge moment in the prayer. The prayer up to this point has been focused solely on God. And now with this next prayer, the focus moves to human beings and its human beings' needs. So give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So this fourth phrase is the second of three petitions to God about human beings' fundamental needs. We all need and want forgiveness. Forgiveness is an absolute necessity in human relationships because we are inevitably bound to hurt each other. Sometimes inadvertently, but sometimes intentionally. In his book on forgiveness, Adam Hamilton says that there are 6 words that need to be a part of every person's daily vocabulary in relationship with other people. And those 6 words are, "I am sorry," and "I forgive you." So when we pray this prayer daily, we are reminded daily that we are people who need forgiveness because we are sinful people. But we are also reminded that God's grace and mercy are available to us every day. And God longs to forgive us and restore us to wholeness. So when we ask for forgiveness, what are we needing to be forgiven of? Is it trespasses or debts or sins? Because depending on how you were raised, what prayer, what version of the prayer you were raised with, there are different words that are used in this particular moment in the prayer. So the translation that was read today by Karen, it uses the word sins. And actually, in the Gospel of Luke and the other teaching of the Lord's Prayer, that's the actual word that Luke uses. The Greek word there is hamartia. And you may be familiar with this word. It's a really interesting word because it's a word that when you translate it directly, it means to miss the mark. And the idea behind that is if you imagine a bullseye and you're shooting arrows at the bullseye, well, sometimes they fall short of the bullseye. Sometimes they go past the bullseye. Sometimes they hit the target itself, but it's on the edges. It's not in the center of the bullseye. And so sin then is the idea of falling short, of missing the mark, falling short of who God created us to be, missing the mark of how God intends us to be in this world. So sometimes we need to be forgiven of missing the mark, of falling short. Now, the way I was raised with the prayer and the way we pray the prayer here normally when it's an usual kind of use of the Lord's Prayer is forgive us our trespasses. And that actually comes from these verses 14 and 15 were sort of a commentary. Jesus is making commentary on what he's just taught the disciples about forgiveness and says, as you forgive others their trespasses. And so that's where we get this way of saying this prayer. So sometimes maybe you've seen this particular sign. Private property, no trespassing, violators will be prosecuted. What we think about when we think about trespasses is it's going places we don't have a right to go. Doing things we don't have a right to do. Stepping on someone's toes. Saying something we don't have the right to say. And sometimes we need to be forgiven of those times when we go places, do things, say things we don't have the right to do. But in the Gospel of Matthew, the word that in our translation from the NLT is that's translated as sins, the Greek word is different from hamartia. The Greek word is ophilemata. And this word means debts. This is where we get forgive us our debts. This is the idea of that which is owed. This would be a monetary sort of idea. In Jesus' time, he would have been speaking to working class people. Many of them would be tenant farmers who owed the landowner rent. But they also owed the landowner part of the crop. And if the crop didn't come in the way you expected it to, then the debts begin to pile up until they're overwhelming. Now, we are not tenant farmers. But some of you may know what it's like to feel like the debts have just piled up. Credit card debt, student loan debt, car debt, house debt, until you're just suffering under it. That's the kind of debt. Forgive us our debts that have piled up. But we're asking God to forgive us our debts. What kind of debt do we owe God? Well, God created all things. God gave each of us life. We owe our whole lives, our whole being to God. We owe our obedience to God. And when we do not give God what we owe God, then we need to do something about taking care of that debt. So one more Greek word The Greek word here for forgive is the word aphiemi. And that means literally to release, to let go. It's the idea of letting go of the debt, releasing the debt. And the good news that we know when we pray this prayer daily, forgive us our debts. The good news is our God is a God who releases, who lets go of our debts. And not only that, our God is a God who does not remember them. It's not that God forgets them. God chooses to not remember. God promises this in Jeremiah 31, 34, in the promise of the new covenant. When God says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." When we pray this prayer, we can give thanks that our God is the kind of creditor who releases us from our debts and remembers them no more. But here's the thing, not so much human beings. You know, we move into the second part of this particular phrase of the prayer. Forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is when it gets sticky. Because we are people who remember. We remember our own mistakes. We remember our own missteps. We remember our own sins. And a lot of times we hang on to them and we bring them back out and we think about them again. And sometimes we even beat ourselves up with them again. But we're also people who hold on to the hurt, who remember the slightest betrayal. And bring it out again and look at it and remind that other person of it. But when we hold on to our past mistakes, the past hurts we've experienced, that chains us to the past. And our liberation from our sin goes hand in hand with our willingness to forgive those who've hurt us. Verses 14 and 15 give us the commentary on this. This is what Jesus wants us to think about here, this commentary on what he's teaching about forgiveness. And I want to tell you, when we were in our worship planning meeting and we were doing our study on this, oh my gosh, we talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked about this. This is one of the longest conversations I think we've had. We wrestled with it because it's just hard. It's just hard. It makes you want to ask the question, well, is God waiting to see what my level of forgiveness is before God decides what my level of forgiveness is going to be, how I'm going to be forgiven? Is God watching, waiting, and keeping score? I want to say to you, that is theologically short-sighted. Because our actions, our choices do not change God from an unmerciful God to a merciful God. God forgives when we do not forgive. God is merciful because God is God. So Jesus is not saying here that forgiveness is a cause and effect kind of things. Jesus is wanting to make the point that our ability to fully receive God's grace and mercy freely given is connected to our willingness to extend that same grace and mercy to others. Now, I want a name that I know that there are persons in this room, some of us, who have been hurt in ways beyond my knowledge or imagination. I know that there are persons here in this room who the idea of forgiving the one who hurt you or someone you love so deeply, so badly, so awfully is just beyond comprehension. But let me just say a couple of things about what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not condoning. Forgiveness is letting go of the right of retribution. Forgiveness is not allowing that wrongdoing to define your present and your future. Forgiveness is not allowing the wrongdoer to have power over your life. Forgiveness is not dismissing consequences. Consequences are not retribution. Consequences teach and shape and form so that hopefully the behavior will not be repeated. But forgiveness makes space for the possibility of reconciled relationship. But relationship is not a requirement of forgiveness. We can choose to forgive and choose not to be in relationship with the one we have forgiven. We forgive not so that God will forgive us. We forgive because God has forgiven us. And because we are created in the image of God. In Jesus, in his teaching and his example, we see the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness even there on the cross. In that moment when Jesus says, "Forgive them for they do not know what they do," we see exemplified forgiveness. And by the power of the Spirit, as Dara said, by the power of the Spirit in our lives, it makes it possible for us to begin to forgive, to offer grace and mercy. And when we do that, we begin to see change. Change within us as we are set free from the bitterness and resentment, and sometimes change in the one who receives the forgiveness. So this woman here, the picture, yeah, this is Samila Adinajah. Her teenage son was killed in a street fight. He was stabbed to death by the man you see there on the chair. He was caught, tried, convicted, and sentenced to public execution by hanging. Selinada and her husband were at the public execution, as was their right. They also had the right to be the ones who pushed the chair out from under the convicted man. And so they were there that day. They came up, were standing next to the man on the chair. And at the moment when she could push the chair out, she slapped him across the face and then turned to her husband and asked him to help her take the noose off of his neck. You'll see that in the next photo. And you see his face. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what he was feeling in that moment? He was helped down off of the chair and led off to prison to serve his 12-year sentence. Because consequences. But one day he will be released from prison because in her act She set him free. But she also told the Associated Press a few days later when they interviewed her what happened for her. She said in the moment she chose to slap him, she was set free of her need for vengeance and set free from her pain. I hear this story, and it makes me wonder, what do I choose to hold on to? What hurt am I still hanging on to that I need to set free? Because, you see, when we choose the grace and the mercy, then we are able to pray this prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Dara already invited you at the beginning of this service to be reflecting on the place where forgiveness is needed in your life. And maybe you already know where that is. We're gonna pray the prayer together. And when we get to this phrase about forgiveness, we're just gonna sit there for a little while and sit in that space. And I invite you to either see that person's face before you that you need to forgive, or offer up the word of what you need to be forgiven of in that space. The way we're going to pray it is using the words from the New Living Translation. It will be on the screens in front of you. It's also in the insert that has every week's Lord's Prayer if you want to follow along. I'll lead us into the ending of the prayer, but I invite you to join me as we pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever. Amen and amen. So as our ushers prepare to come forward to receive our offering, I would remind you that indeed God has given us our whole lives. Everything we have comes from God. Abundance, grace, family, community, opportunity, it all comes from God. And so we offer back to God out of that abundance today. So would you join me as we pray over the offering? God, we give thanks for the abundance that you have blessed us with and offer these gifts in gratitude and praise, and in anticipation of how you will take these gifts and our lives and use them so that others may come to know your abundant grace and mercy. We pray this in the prayer in the name of Jesus, as all God's people say, amen.